way. So
they've
looked at the equity of the situation and have decided that that adjustment will not be made. In other words, you actually correct the record to show they're not entitled to it, but you're not going to adjust the payment as a result of it. So they're actually looking out more for the individual than what I'm seeing defined here. In the same cases, it is a judicious process that we're talking about, trying to mandate some rigid restrictions in, and trying to be. I guess I'm just trying to say it, that I don't think it's the way to go.
Mr. Cleary. Well, let me take you back. Earlier, you were attempting to make some comments with respect to what the other states are doing. What the federal government has done under ERISA. Is that going to, with respect to the fiduciary responsibility of the board members, is that going to apply by reference under the federal law?
Right now, it's strictly as an indication of what they're going to be doing in the public sector, and they're going to do that through federal legislation called PERISA,
right.
Public term.
Okay, now when that happens, that's when the monkey's going to be on the board's back.
Correct.
With respect to those overpayments, because you're not in a position as a fiduciary under ERISA now to give away money that's part of a trust, a retirement trust. You can't do that. You know, you're personally liable, but of course you carry insurance for that. But I think you're going to end up getting tougher. That's one of the reasons why there should be legislation that we're discussing that protects the board with respect to guidelines. Otherwise, you're going to be in a position of maybe doing exactly what you've indicated, zeroing out somebody's retirement.
Frank?
I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that legislation aimed at, not aimed at administrative errors, but isn't that legislation aimed at your situation where people are investing retirement funds in conflict of interest situations where steering money into their company's pockets or their own pockets,
well,
or somebody else in the union's pockets? Isn't that,
that was the original,
that whole federal legislation, not
that
not
was
the situation?
But if you read the regulations and they're interpreted, it means just what I said, that you cannot sit as a fiduciary and condone the outflow of money without justification. And if you find an error on a private pension plan, now you are required by law under your fiduciary responsibility to correct that error and collect the funds. And we had to do that in a couple of cases.
Why I mentioned that earlier, tried to develop that, is to show that we're really whying here. The trend nationwide is to make the boards very administrative and very much in authority. What we're doing here is we're taking away regulation procedures and putting it into administrative procedure method. We're taking away their authority to act as a court, I guess, on overpayments and errors of the administration. And I think we're making the wrong turn in the road.
Frank?
I don't see anything here to prohibit the board from on their own under the waiver provisions for waiving the adjustments or anything else. We haven't changed that setup at all. It's all we've talked about is a time limitation on payback. If the board wants to have a hardship hearing on whether or not to continue the retirement that's being paid or something, I don't see anything here that affects that. I'm not exactly sure that's specifically authorized anyplace else anyway.
A hearing on someone that the error was caught within a period of 2 years,
yeah, they could do this
going to
yeah.
pose a hardship.
It's going to be a lot. If it was a $200 error, you're talking about almost $5,000.
No, that was just an example.
Yeah, I mean, but an example. I'm just saying it could.
Let me ask you this. Bill, you brought up a point earlier about getting back to the cause of the problem, and if it's the state error, the employer's error, trying to recover that amount through the legislative process. How many of you are in favor of us trying to get that added to this?
Yeah,
opposed?
Yeah, I oppose. I think it should be separate because you're going to end up with a funding bill every year.
Well, no, just language that would provide a mechanism for
just so they can get it and present it.
I don't think it should be in this legislation.
Maybe it doesn't belong in there. I was only suggesting it because I know it happens.
Well, where
it's only right now with the department.
Where else would you put it if you don't put it in these procedures, in effect?
It happens indirectly already. If the error is made and we're granting credit for, say, an employee against the state, the cost of that benefit then gets translated to the employer's rate, so the state picks it up indirectly by paying a higher contribution rate. So it goes back. It doesn't go back directly. It certainly gets there indirectly.
Maybe we have to deal with that direct or indirect way of identifying it. When the system and the actuary says this is what the rate ought to be, you know, to bring us back to full funding, he takes into account that. But he doesn't have to tell, and the rest of the process doesn't say, you know, it's going up an extra 0.1% because of four mistakes this last year.
But if those errors were primarily the employer's errors and not the employee's responsibility, then the share of the problems being equally shared by both. Understand what I'm saying? If the employers make the error, consistently make errors in the record keeping or whatever, and the ratio, the rate goes up later, then both the employee's retirement and the employer's share is being affected by the rate, which was caused to rise by the.
The employee's rate is fixed.
It's fixed, so what happens is in case of a shortage then, that it's automatically taken care of by the state.
Or
the employer, right.
Okay, now see, I didn't know that happened. I was just concerned about the fact that you were concerned about keeping the, you know, that's public employees' money and spending their money on overpayments and not having any way to recover it. That's what I thought was happening. Apparently it's being taken care of automatically.
But the employer is taking care of it without necessarily knowing he's taking care of mistakes.
Sure, and I think it's a matter of whether you want them to know about it. Like you go in before and with a supplementary that you've screwed up on an overexpenditure and you're going to justify it?
Obviously, somebody tells him these rates go up, what the reasons are, right?
They do, but
$50,000
or so gets lost in the rate.
That isn't very much money. You wouldn't make an actuarial adjustment on a rate based on $50,000.
No. But I think that was one of the reasons why I was hoping that we would not have a time limitation, because if we force those mistakes to come in front of the board, if they're doing their job, is going to say, why is it every doggone time we sit down here, we've got nine people in here complaining about errors you guys have made? Second part of that is, in some states where they're moving, they're actually having the administration of the public funds, which are not just a state fund, but a total fund, municipalities and political subs. The administration, or myself and the staff, report directly to the boards. So now it's a question of me going into my boss and saying, well, I got a bunch of people where we screwed up. And they start to ask, why is it that we're paying you the salary we're paying you, that every doggone time we come in here, we got people saying how you screwed up their benefit. And that's all in this big scheme
says that you still can't give that information to the board, since the board does control other activities of the retirement, right?
Well, but you can bet that if I'm worried about losing my job, then I'm not going to run into tattle every time I made a mistake.
Right.
Yeah, but why run the person that's subject to the error through a cumbersome hearing process just so you can demonstrate, or the board can get demonstrated what problems are? Because you're putting the whole onus on the back of the person in the system rather than on the back of the administrators. I mean, if the board really wants to know, that's all they do is say, okay, you tell us January 1 of each year how many mistakes you made or the employers made, which had to be corrected, and that'll take care of that problem right away. If the board cared enough about it, they'd ask for it.
I guess what's inherent in discussion is that if an error is made, that the employee is entitled to receive that error. I don't believe personally that that's always true.
Well, we've said that. We said the change or error was not caused by the member or teacher or beneficiary. So there's an investigative process like there isn't anything.
Let's say we actually made a mistake and we paid somebody $48 more than entitled to. Does that mean that individual's entitled to it?
No, I don't think the legislature
says
that.
If it's over 2 years old?
Doesn't have to pay it back until that period of time.
You can make your investment once you find it, but he doesn't have to pay it back. Our concern is you talked about a long-range case. If you had a long-range case like the... I got to talk about the lady in school because she was broke. That's actually all she had to live on. Now, if you would have taken and taxed her to any great amount in order to pay back that $5,000...
I wish I could speak to that, because I just don't even remember the case, to be quite honest.
Well, it took 2 years to settle it. At least that's the information to get through all kinds of processes, and it's a terrible mess. You can't get the senator straight on it because he really knows. But all I'm saying is that it would place a tremendous hardship upon the retiree, and that's the only thing we don't want to do. We don't want to place a hardship upon them. It wasn't their fault. We don't want them to be able to not live and live properly.
Do you remember her name or this lady's name?
I don't need another one. Who was it? What was her name?
Gosh, there were so many of them. This all happened at a time when a complete audit was done, and several people received notices that they'd been overpaid by $100, $200, some $3,000, $5,000. And the letter, I think, stated that over the next several months, it would be reduced by that amount until it was paid off.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular instance, I myself personally, although I was retired at the time, I think I had 5 calls from individuals about this, including this one. And it seems to me it may not have been exactly 5,000, but it was in that general vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
But this was evidently, you picked up an awful lot, and it had to do with, I don't know what you call them, the mistakes had not, in many instances, been made in the initial retirement, but in the fogies, or whatever you call them, that came along at interims thereafter.
Any further questions of Paul or comments? Thank you, Paul. Any other business?
I have a question.
Yes,
please. Line 27 of this bill, talking about credited service with the state. Right. I'm wondering if it was purposely left out, territorial service.
You mean state or territory?
Uh-huh.
Well, of course, that's credited service by
credited,
law.
Yeah, that's
the statute passed it. Is that correct, Paul?
That would be credited service.
So that would be considered part of credited service because the law says so. You wouldn't need it in there.
Set another date.
We were just talking about it.
Valentine's Day.
I can check with the senator and see what dates he has for committee meetings and things, which we won't know for a while. Or you can tell me, come to a consensus on a date.
Why don't we just zero in on
that since we're meeting this afternoon?
It'll have to be in the afternoon because it's scheduled in the morning. Week of February 9th, week of February 2nd.
That's good. We should have the house organized.
Yeah. You might be looking for someplace.
Week of the 9th, does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, that's better.
All right, week of February 9th. Is there any preferences to day of the week?
Yeah,
let's have a
lot
of money. That's a holiday.
Well, let's see. Who do we have
traveling
down?
We'll have
Jack, do you have to travel?
But he'll be in.
Oh, he'll be here.
Yeah. He'll be here all the time.
Well, I hope they don't kick me out of here.
Okay.
We got a date?
Not Tuesday.
Not
Tuesday.
That's a
statement. Wednesday, is that?
Wednesday, February 10th.
11th. We'll spend Wednesday, February
11th.
It's 11th.
I know I have a
speech.
You've got 81.
February, but I'm not sure which day.
Is it the 11th?
Wednesday, the 11th it is. It's in the afternoon.
Absolutely. Probably 1:30. And I will send out a memo confirming to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.